Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Our demands may be radical, but the demands of the Earth are truly non-negotiable. Corporations and biology do not mix.
15 years ago today, Earth Firsters Judy Berry and Daryl Cherney were driving through Oakland on an organizing tour for Redwood Summer when a pipe bomb exploded under Judy's seat. Not only did someone try to kill her, but the FBI also tried to frame her and Daryl for carrying the bomb, calling them eco-terrorists and arresting them. Judy died of cancer 7 years later, but her now famous case against the FBI did go to federal court in 2002, and they won. Here is some audio from a documentary film about Judy Berry called The Forest for the Trees. In it, you'll hear parts of her deathbed deposition, taped just a month before she died. The city of Oakland declared May 24th, Judy Berry Day, after that verdict, as a way to remember and honor this proud, courageous, and extremely funny corporate butt-kicker, our friend, Judy Berry.
In 1988, a carpenter and former union organizer from the East Coast named Judy Berry joined Earth First.
Now this here where I live is called Redwood Valley, and there's hardly a redwood left in it. And last year it hit 115 on the clear cut where I live. And I know it didn't hit any 115 when there were redwood trees there.
I was working as a carpenter making houses out of old growth redwood. They were like rich people's houses. So I was watching the trucks go by with the logs on them while I was building these fancy houses out of the wood, and the contradiction disturbed me.
We log to infinity because we need it all. It's out there, it's ours, and we need it all now. This maniac is actually in charge of most of the forest land in Mendocino County.
The first prolonged campaign up here that I engaged in, when we set ourselves up in the middle of the road and physically blocked the logging equipment from getting to the place where they were supposed to cut. The neighbors formed a neighborhood group and filed a lawsuit, and the place was saved.
Were there any other particular protest activities that you were involved in?
Constant.
Did those activities sometimes involve the Earth First people getting arrested?
Yes. People climbed trees and sat in the trees to stop them from being cut. People chained themselves to logging equipment. My primary organizing experience was in the union movement.
They just closed down the Potter Valley sawmill. That sawmill employed 132 people. Subsequently, they opened this chip plant, which employs 8 people.
Judy wouldn't go along with the old opposition between jobs and the environment. Judy wrote, "It is only when the factory workers refuse to make toxics, it is only when the loggers refuse to cut ancient trees, that we can ever hope for real and lasting change."
They got them working, what, 58 hours a week? That's what I heard, that's what I read in the paper. 58 hours a week in the mill? You know, you're milling your children's jobs, that's what you're doing, and it's not your fault. You don't have any control over it any more than I have control over the fact that I spent last summer putting Palco redwood on the side of a rich man's country mansion. And you don't have any control over your working conditions, and that's why I'm not here against the loggers.
"This system cannot be stopped by force," Judy wrote. "It is violent and ruthless beyond the capacity of any people's resistance movement. The only way I can even imagine it stopping is through massive non-cooperation." That year, with her leadership, Earth First was planning Redwood Summer.
Redwood Summer was a campaign that we initiated in 1990 to bring in students and others from around the country to participate in a summer-long exercise of demonstrations, nonviolent civil disobedience.
A lot of activists had gotten together a voter initiative called Forest Forever. The timber companies planned on cutting down every tree they could that summer so that the vote would be as moot as possible if it won. So our plan with Redwood Summer was to block every tree from being cut down that we could.
Judy came to me. She says, "I'm really worried that someone's going to get hurt." So we set up a series of meetings where I pulled together the people in the logging and timber community, and we sat down and actually agreed upon rules of engagement.
I'd like to read you the nonviolence code. It says, "We will use no violence, verbal or physical, towards any person. We will carry no weapons.
We will not damage any property. And this includes monkey wrenching.
It's not like you're expecting them to not be who they're going to be, you know. I mean, I expected Judy to be out, you know, on the front lines. But at the same time, I also expected that when we made an agreement in private or at a meeting or something, that she's going to stick by it. And she always did. She always did. That was pretty neat because it actually did build bridges between environmentalists and loggers.
We actually had, believe it or not, Louisiana Pacific workers who actually came out in public with us. And we demanded that the county use their power of eminent domain to seize all of Louisiana Pacific's holdings and operate them in the public interest. And I immediately started receiving death threats after that, and the scariest one that I ever got with a rifle scope and crosshairs over my face.
A car bomb explosion sends two members of the Earth First group to the hospital. This pipe bomb went off at a busy Oakland intersection.
The white Subaru they were riding in suddenly exploded, blowing out the windows and the driver's door, buckling the roof, leaving burn marks on the roadway.
On May 24th of 1990, I was bombed and nearly killed in a car bomb assassination attempt. When I hit the brake, there was a very huge explosion, and I felt it rip through me. I felt it from underneath of me. And I remember the explosion being so powerful that the sound itself had a force. My legs both were immobile at the time. I knew that my body was ruined. I knew that I was paralyzed. I felt that I was dying.
Judy's pelvis was shattered. They said she would never walk again. But the bombing was just the beginning.
The unofficial word is the two environmentalists injured when a bomb went off in their car just before noon are suspects and not just victims.
We filed a lawsuit against the FBI.
We've charged them with false arrest, illegal search and seizure, unequal protection of the law, and conspiracy to violate our First Amendment rights by discrediting us as terrorists.
Judy filed her case in 1991. As she regained the ability to walk and fought chronic pain from her injuries.
The FBI had been engaging in many, many activities which were a violation of the Constitution. The COINTELPRO program.
COINTELPRO. It stands for Counterintelligence Program.
These organizations were carrying on legal activities. They were protesting the government. They were organizing. But the FBI saw any attempt to organize any activity that was critical of the government as something that they had a right to interfere with.
COINTELPRO was discovered in 1971 when secret files were stolen from an FBI office in Pennsylvania and released to the media.
And I believe it was the publication of those documents that led to the FBI to announce that the COINTELPRO program was coming to an end. And in fact, it turned out that the FBI was continuing to carry on break-ins of perfectly legitimate organizations that simply were protesting American policy.
Do you know why you weren't allowed to say all this in court?
No.
If we couldn't show that any of these individual defendants had been involved in those type of activities.
Right. She'd already been misheld before, though.
She had earlier dismissed Richard Held, and he was the only one that we could prove personal connection to.
We have to go where the evidence goes.
Richard Held, special agent in charge of Judy Berry's case, began his career in the FBI in the late 60s in Los Angeles in the Racial Matters Division. Notable cases he's been involved in include that of Geronimo Pratt, a Black Panther imprisoned for 27 years on murder charges. In 1997, Pratt was released and awarded $4.5 million based on evidence that the FBI knew at the time of the murder that Pratt was innocent. Held was also at the Pine Ridge Reservation after the shootout that led to the imprisonment of Leonard Peltier. Peltier is in prison today for a crime to which no physical evidence has ever linked him.
I've had some pretty extraordinary clients, political people, organizers, activists over the years, and she was really at the top of that class. She had more understanding, more energy to bring to the work. She was phenomenal. It was really a great blow to lose her.
This case is not about me, it's not about Daryl, and it's not about Earth First. It's about the right of all activists to work for social change.
Nobody could really replace Judy.
I want to remember the one who isn't here, Judy Berry. She died of cancer 5 years ago. I think you were able to get some sense of her in this trial, but actually nothing approaching the power and strength and eloquence and dedication she brought to the work she did and what it was that she changed from being a private citizen into being a public person in order to do. But we have to remember that, because a key part of the story is to understand that she was somebody who would draw this type of hostility, trying to expose things that were destructive of the life force and the habitat we all share, and of the trees. So she mustn't be forgotten, and she mustn't be underestimated. The animosity to her mustn't be underestimated either. Why would you decide the bomb was in plain view when the hole was in the front seat and you could see right down to the pavement? You could see the crack in the pavement right through the hole in the seat where the bomb was hidden under it. If you were there, or I was there, or anybody acting in good faith would have known the bomb was put there to hurt or kill that woman because she had a big mouth and she was effective, reaching out to timber workers, and she scared the hell out of the timber companies. And why didn't she die in this bombing? It's a fluke. And whoever tried to kill her is still walking around. The bombers struck at her, and they let him go. The investigation wasn't an investigation of anything, except of Earth First. People who hung a banner on the Golden Gate Bridge, people going to sit in a tree, people making waves in timber country. What does what mean?
His verdict.
It means that the people can see when activists are attacked for their activism by the government, by the police, and by the national or federal police. And that's now, you know, unavoidable for everyone to see. Even the press, which has been so, you know, reluctant to pay attention to this story for 12 years, is now going to have to deal with it, aren't you?
The story goes that when Judy was dying, she told her daughters when they wanted to see her to look up at the stars. She was cremated, according to her request, so that her ashes could be scattered over threatened areas. And her obituary listed her as a revolutionary.